and He will embrace me in His arms. God, thank You that that is so true. That we can walk into Your arms and know we're loved. God, thank You for the power and the presence of Your Holy Spirit that is here in this place right now. Thank You that You've been here all morning. And right now, God, we pray those words, come, Holy Spirit, come into our hearts, into our lives as we open up Your Word and Your truth. Impact us. In Jesus' name, amen. Maybe you've noticed, I don't know, we live in such a peace-filled world. Did you notice that? Have you noticed? I mean, think about it. We live in a time and place where there are no wars, no strife, no problems. All of us, I mean, black and white and rich and poor and the haves and the have-nots, Republicans and Democrats, husbands and wives, Jesus followers and those who live far from God, employers and employees, church members, all of us across the globe, we get along so well, don't we? And it might be just a hint of sarcasm in that question. Because seriously, in our world, peace is pretty elusive. In 1945, the United Nations was formed. Anybody know why? At the end of World War II, people had watched thousands of people die. They watched all that happen. People longed for peace in the world. So the UN was formed as an agency of peace. Now, here's the thing. It's been 74 years since that happened. 74 years. In those 74 years, the world has not known one single day of peace. Even though the motto of the UN or the mission statement of the UN is this, to have succeeding generations be free from the scourge of war. Not one single day. Somebody said in Washington, D.C., we build lots of monuments for peace. In fact, after every war, there's a monument built for peace. But nobody has yet succeeded in bringing peace. Nobody. Have you ever heard of the Global Peace Index? You ever heard of that? The Global Peace Index is something that's done every year in the world. There are 163 independent nations in the world in which we live. And every year, this Global Peace Index is formulated, and they look at different factors. They look at the level of respect for human rights. They look at violent crime. They look at the number of homicides per 100,000 people. They look at the potential for terroristic activity. They look at the political culture. They look at all kinds of things. 163 independent nations in the world. Guess where America ranked in 163 nations? Anybody want to take a wild guess? 163. Not quite that far down. 123rd in the world for peace. You want to know the top three? Top three were Iceland. So cold up there, nobody does anything. They don't even get out of their house. The other one was New Zealand. And the third was Portugal, which kind of surprised me a little bit. Portugal. You want to know the bottom three, the last three? This probably will not surprise you. You probably might guess the region of the world where the worst in this index might be found. South Sudan, Syria, and Afghanistan. One survey was asked, the question was asked, if you could end world hunger or make world peace, only one of the two, which would it be? And somebody said, one answer was world peace. Because if we could have a lot less violence if everybody would be fed. Another one said, world peace. You get that, you end world hunger. Another one said, and maybe a little bit that sarcastic thing, said, I would end world hunger. Because maybe, just maybe, if everybody's so busy stuffing their face with food, they don't have time to fight. And then one other one said, and kind of a sad resignation, neither of those will ever happen. In 1969, pretty amazing event happened, actually. We landed a man on the moon. You remember where they landed? It was a sea of what? Tranquility. That word means what? Peace, right? I didn't know this, but Billy Graham said about that event, Billy Graham said, it was easy to know why it was such a wonderful and peaceful and tranquil place. No human beings had ever been there. You put people there for just a little while, and the name of that place would never fit. Oh, wow. Wow. You know, in the midst of all of those thoughts, it makes me want to ask the question, what does God say about peace? What does God say about having peace and knowing what peace is all about? And in fact, what does God say about being a peacemaker? Because that's part of learning to live right side up in an upside down world, is be a peacemaker. What is the outlook for humanity if everyone would be intent on following God's word, following these words of Jesus in the Beatitudes, to be peacemakers? Grab your bulletin, or if you've got your Bible, grab your Bible and turn to Matthew chapter 5, and we're gonna explore a little bit this morning. I'm gonna ask a couple of questions just as we jump back in and continue down this road of walking through the Beatitudes. We're down to verse 9, and so when I read them this morning, I'll read them and we can just be reminded of where we've been as Jesus has started us down this road of helping us put new attitudes in our lives in order that we, as followers of Jesus, can be the lead in beginning to live right side up in an upside down world. Matthew chapter 5. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. And verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Jesus calls those of us today who are His followers to be peacemakers. Just like 2,000 years ago on a hillside, He asked people who were following Him then to be peacemakers. And there are some questions that come in my mind as I think about, what does that mean? What does it look like? How do we make that happen in our lives? How do we become peacemakers? So let's talk a little bit about that. What is peace biblically? You see, peace in the scriptures, there are over 400 references to the word peace and to that connotation of peace and or a peacemaker. 400 references in the scriptures. Interestingly enough, the Bible at its very beginning opens with peace. God creates this world and He said it's all good. And then He creates a Garden of Eden and He puts man and woman there and He says it's all good. Live in peace. And then at the end of the scriptures, at the end of the book, if you've ever read it, there's peace because it is eternity with God forever and ever and ever. Eternal peace. Now, of course, what happened in the middle, you know, what happened, humankind messed that all up. There was the fall and trying to make our own way, and that doesn't really work very well. And then in the midst of all that, Jesus shows up, lives His life, suffers and dies to bring what? Peace into the hearts and lives of people who follow after Him. In the Bible, peace oftentimes it refers to health or prosperity or harmony or wholeness even. When the Hebrew word shalom is used, it's to wish someone the fullness of that presence of peace. It's to wish persons prosperity. It's to wish them to experience the full blessing of God. So when you hear in Numbers chapter 6 that word that we sometimes, that passage of scripture that we sometimes use as a benediction, listen to these words. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. May the Lord give you the full blessing of His presence. May the Lord give you prosperity. May you experience all that God wants you to experience. May God give you peace. In Isaiah chapter 9, of course, we're getting pretty close to Christmas. Can't remember how many days I saw on Facebook the other day. Somebody put up there how many days till Christmas. I'm like, that can't be, but it is. But you'll remember in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, Isaiah prophesied that there would be a coming Prince of Peace, one who would come to bring peace in the world. It was a way different kind of peace than what the people expected, what they thought was going to happen. They thought that Jesus was going to come or the Messiah was going to come and overthrow the government, remember? But that wasn't the plan. In fact, Jesus said that when He was on earth in John chapter 14. He said, "Peace I leave with you, My peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you." Biblical peace is not merely the absence of something. Biblical peace is the presence of someone. You hear me? It's the presence of someone in our lives. It's the presence of of God in us and through us and around us. So then this next question comes to my mind. Blessed are the peacemakers. What's a peacemaker? What could Jesus have meant when he said, blessed are the peacemakers? Well, peacemakers are persons who are seeking in every way possible to preserve peace where in their arena of life. Or people who are seeking to restore peace where it's been lost. That's a peacemaker. Blessed are the peacemakers. In classical Greek, the peacemaker was an ambassador sent to seek peace. You know what an ambassador is, right? It's someone who's sent from a foreign country to represent that country. Whether it's here or whether we're going somewhere else. We are representatives. As an ambassador, we are representatives in another place. We are to be a peacemaker is an ambassador of God. We as followers of Jesus represent God in every place we go, in everything that we do, in all that we are. Blessed are the peacemakers. So in verse 9, Jesus says, you know, you're a peacemaker. You intervene as people of God. Intervene to bind together those who are struggling in their relationship with God or in their relationship with each other. As peacemakers, we're ones who intervene. We all know that there are problems in many of our families, in many of our neighborhoods, in some of our friendships, even within our church and churches. There are struggles and there are issues that people have. And a peacemaker is one who is seeking to bring peace in a broken relationship. Seeking to make sure that peace is maintained among the persons who are involved in the situation. That's what a peacemaker is. Blessed are those who seek to bring peace. So as a follower of Christ, you know, we are called. Jesus calls us to help bring about peace between people who live far from God and God Himself. We're called to make that relationship, nurture that relationship, help it to happen. We are to do all that we can do to establish harmony in the lives of people who live around us. As peacemakers, We do all that we can do to make sure that in our own community, in our own county, in our own state, in our own nation, in our world, that we are promoting the peace of God. Being a peacemaker is singing that old familiar song that we have sung a million times. Let there be peace on earth and, oh, say it. Go ahead. Let it begin with me. Oh, it doesn't say let it begin with somebody else. Let it begin with me. We are called to be peacemakers. Not ones who stir up stuff. Not one who causes others to stumble. We are called to be peacemakers. Let there be peace on earth and let it begin with me. So, at least another question. How do I live into this role of being a peacemaker? How do I live into this? How do I make that part of the practice of my daily life? We do what we do. We do it all that we can do to bring about peace between people and God and those who are at odds with one another. We do all that we can do to reconcile, to intervene, to unite, to listen, to umpire sometimes, to resolve, to mediate. A peacemaker is a bridge builder. A bridge builder, it's someone who creates a bridge between, well, that was pretty slick. A peacemaker is one who creates a bridge between two persons or two situations or two groups of people. It's a bridge builder. And listen, Jesus didn't say that building a bridge was going to be easy. Jesus didn't say that, hey, building this bridge, it's never going to be challenging. Listen, I don't know about you, but it's always challenging to me. He didn't say, just go do your thing. No, this building bridges sometimes is going to be costly. And sometimes it's going to be emotionally exhausting to be a bridge builder. I mean, you think about it. Who really wants to get involved in racial issues? I mean, who really wants to step into the fray? Who wants to get involved in workplace issues or in church disputes? Who wants to jump into political issues? Sometimes this this reconciliation thing, sometimes being a peacemaker doesn't work at all. In fact, Paul said to the Roman church, listen, here's what he said. Live at peace with everyone. That's what he said. Let me finish the sentence. Live at peace with everyone if it is possible. Wow. Wow. Sometimes maybe it's not possible. But as much as it is possible, because we have the Holy Spirit living in us, we make every effort to live at peace, to be a peacemaker in the world in which we live. Someone said that this kind of peace that Jesus was talking about there on that hillside is a peace that really begins at home. That we have to, it has to start here in our own heart. Because if we're not at peace in our relationship with God, we can never be at peace with people who live around us. So the goal for us as Jesus followers, wanting to make a difference in life as a peacemaker might look like this. The next time we're driving an I-71 and somebody cuts us off, or somebody is not paying a bit of attention to driving, they're doing everything in the world except driving, instead of us screaming at the top of our lungs at them, or cursing at them, or whatever we might do, maybe being a peacemaker would be to offer a little prayer for them. How much different might that be, if not for them, for us and our relationship with God? It might look like the next time we are tempted to gossip about someone, that we or spread discord between friends, or bicker about things that really don't matter in the big picture. Do something different. Offer a way of peace instead. Offer a word of prayer instead. Offer a word of kindness and gentleness instead. Make peace. Be a bridge builder instead of a bridge tearer downer. You see, Jesus is the ultimate example of a bridge builder. I love this picture. Because listen, we start out on that left side where people are, you know, in sin and in rebellion and in separation. And Jesus builds a bridge to get from that mess of our lives to get to the holiness of God. Jesus builds a bridge for you and for me. And in fact, He is the great peacemaker. That's what Paul said it in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. If you get a chance, you might want to write that down and read it later today. Powerful passage of scripture. But listen to this. Now this is just part of that. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Who gave us peace through Christ. Who Jesus became the bridge for us to find peace in our own lives. And He gave us the ministry of being peacemakers, reconcilers. Powerful words. 700 years ago, a guy was born, and he was a son of an Italian cloth merchant. He was destined to wealth, to I don't know, royalty of some kind, but along the way he abandoned that path. He didn't want to be wealthy. He didn't want to be famous. He chose instead to wear a ragged cloak with a borrowed rope for a belt. He spent his days preaching and giving to others. He chose to live in poverty, and history records that he was one of the most, if not the most, noble, kind, humble, and Christ-like man this world may have ever known. He wanted to be a peacemaker for the sake of the kingdom of God. We know him. We've read some of his things. Saint Francis of Assisi. And today, after we sing, we're going to share a prayer that he wrote. It's a prayer that still works for today. So that we can be peacemakers in our world. So that we can be instruments of God's peace in every relationship that we find ourselves part of. So I'm going to ask you to stand, and we're going to sing. And when we're done singing, we're going to say this prayer together.